For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yo, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. I am Scams and the niggas is here, and let's talk about football because let's start in France because I mean that league has been over, but Lyon has been not Lyonin. They have been not been good.
Yeah, I mean, after the high of beating Marseille last week 3-0, it's just like, they decided to pack shit up, you know. Moussa Dembélé again doing what he does, but overall, yeah.
Who they lose to, Mets?
Yeah,
that's shameful. That's ridiculous. But you know, I hate to do this so quickly in the show because I know we do this all the fucking time. But viewing the world through the prism of an Arsenal fan, I am not mad at Lyon fucking up the end of their season. Oh, because if they're not in Europe, it means discounts on the shopping.
Exclusive to Arsenal, because I feel like there's the sharks are circling around Lyon anyway. Right. There's going to be a few players there that are probably going to make moves.
There's a player at Lyon that I want so bad, as Malo Gusto. That nigga is nice.
Yeah.
Again, France, I don't know what they've been doing over there in that country, colonizing, but France got some ridiculous football players, man.
Yeah. I mean, has Ndombele made the move yet, or is he still on loan from Tottenham?
I think he's still on loan for now.
Okay, cool. So they're gonna need to raise funds for him because they're definitely gonna want him back, right? They won't be playing, you know, in Europe's top table, it looks like. So Kakere could potentially be there. Our deal finishes next year, so he's gonna be getting a cut price this year. Then obviously again, Malo Gusto, like you said. Who else? Moussa Dembélé,
Paqueta,
like, you know, you know what I mean? I've just named five players that all could be going because, you know, it is what it is, man. City are bringing on what's his name? Igor. Oh my lord, Pep using the youth player. I wonders will never ever cease. I can't believe it.
He saw those youth players for Real Madrid beat humility into him, so now he's copying them.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, we're gonna get to that. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about the league.
Marseille beat Lorient, and Guendouzi scored against his former team, and it was an amazing goal. His first touch in the box was great. He sold a dummy, left foot finish. Goalkeeper probably could have done better, but again, for someone that doesn't score goals, it looked incredibly, incredibly accomplished.
Do you know who I'm a big fan of on Marseille besides Boubacar Kamara? Gerson.
Yeah. Egan Riley is coming on for Laporte. So again,
I love Gerson, man. Gerson is a player. He reminds me of so many of the old Brazilian players. I like Gerson a lot.
I know there's something about his face that seems like he seems like the co-worker that would warm up fish in the work microwave. That's what Gerson. I know that's very specific, but trust me.
That's my whole flow, bro.
No, come on, man. Don't do that. I'm going to wipe you on your ass, boy.
speaking of agents of chaos, touch a button, scored a brace again.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's going to go. Well, we do kind of have an idea where he's going to go, but I feel like he's the one player that's going to move this summer that's going to literally change the fortunes of whatever club he goes to. Like, he's literally going to be the difference between a title or a Champions League place or even a Champions League. Like, wherever he goes, like, he's going to be that much of a game changer for them. He's so
realistically, where do we think he's gonna go?
He's going to Liverpool.
We say Liverpool, I can see it happening, but Liverpool are gonna also need to raise some funds as well. Luke also have missed some good chances this game, you know. Like, seriously, I'm kind of worried for when Arsenal played them.
Honestly, that's why we need to wrap up. Well, you know, we're still in France right now, but that's why we need to wrap our shit up early. Like, at least get that done on Thursday, ideally, you know, because Newcastle is not a joke anymore. They really aren't. Yeah. Like, I mean, I still back us to beat them, but it's gonna be real lemon booty hours if we actually need that game for something, man.
It kind of feels like when Jay-Z was warning all of Rockefeller about 50 Cent. Like, that's what it kind of feels was happening right now, because they're gonna spend a lot of money this summer, and they've already got the infrastructure there already. They've got a huge stadium, footy mad city. I would recommend, if there's a Premier League ground I'd recommend to go to that's not one of the top four teams, sorry, St. James Park is definitely the one you should be trying to go to. Like, it is a serious, like, if you're a player going, then you know you're going to be getting paid well, kind of thing. Newcastle is a great club for you, innit?
Those guys are fucking nutcases too.
Like, they love football, man. It's nuts. So yeah, Newcastle are coming, bro. But yeah, touch him in. I don't know. I really don't know.
And he's probably going to play based on the table. He's probably going to play in the, who all gets into the Champions League in France? Is it the top two or the top three?
Top two.
Yeah. Two?
Top three.
Oh, all right. Well, then, motherfuckers, I want Tchouaméni need to go ahead and fuck with some Champions League places, you know. So, yeah, we'll come back to this topic when the final places are determined. Because I am very interested in this Tchouaméni young man. Wonderful goals this week. One with his weak foot, one with his strong foot. Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And they're third in the table, you know. So, yeah, that's a successful season for Monaco.
Yeah.
But looking at this table and seeing Lyon at eight is fucking crazy, man. Like, yeah, it is.
Not won a trophy, by the way. Shout out to our boy who's speaking to Macron. Moses Simon was speaking to Macron after the game.
Right. I wonder what they were discussing. His lack of end product?
I don't know.
So it's 4-0 to City, and, you know, Phil Foden just scored. So there's that.
Well, and we might as well be friends.
We could talk about the Bundesliga, but that's wrapped up. Whatever.
I'm not being funny. We talk football here, we talk serious football here, and I'm not acknowledging the Bundesliga as a serious football organization anymore. I'm sorry, I can't do it. 10 titles in a row, right? 10 titles in a row. It sounds like the Scottish League. That's what it sounds like.
At least the Scottish League got them two, you know, it's two teams that kind of go at each other a little bit, even if that happened. In the back of your mind, you were still thinking any year now Rangers could fuck this up for Celtic. Yeah. But in Germany, ain't no thoughts to be had no more. It's just a wrap. Bayern is going through a transition period. I mean, they're probably
that's what makes it even more hilarious. Nobody even capitalized that.
I mean, one would think that if they lose Lewandowski and Gnabry in the same summer, that maybe Dortmund might have a chance next year. Maybe, but. Maybe. Ultimately, the most exciting news I've heard out of Germany recently is that Schalke got promoted. So, shout out Schalke making it back, because that's one of those legacy heritage teams that kind of belongs in the Bundesliga, even if we don't watch it. It's weird that they weren't there for a while. So, welcome back.
We could talk about La Liga real fast. I mean, it's wrapped up. I mean, Real Madrid's starting the fucking Dominican again. So, he belongs in Dykeman smoking hookah with the rest of his people.
We call him the human victory cigar. Mariano Diaz.
Oh, yay!
Kill okay, head ass.
shout out my Dominicans. I love you guys, man.
Yeah, Ansu Fati scored and Jordi Alba scored in the 90th plus four. So that's good for them, I guess.
In the Hector Bellerin derby against Real Betis.
Yeah. Did Hector Bellerin even play yesterday?
It doesn't matter if he plays or not. I don't know.
He didn't play.
And then go won a trophy. Good for him.
Yeah, he's like hanging on a suspect.
Got the Madrid derby today, and I can almost guarantee you Real Madrid would happily lose that 5-0. They could not give a shit about any of that shit. They're thinking straight Champions League. Like, get your money up, Atleti. We don't give a shit about today.
They might not start a player older than the age of 19.
Yeah, they couldn't give a shit, bro.
This is Real Madrid starting 11 against Atletico.
What an amazing goal from City. What an amazing goal. Oh, my Lord. 5-0. Sterling again. Oh, my Lord. We'll get to Premier League a bit later, and I've got some thoughts.
Yeah. Let me watch this goal real fast. Okay.
What an amazing fucking goal. Dean, this is the goal that you proposed to your wife with.
Find Sterling. Oh, that's a disgusting goal. That's a naughty, naughty, naughty goal. That is.
I'm obviously watching the same goal, and as you can see, there's no reaction on my face. Like, I can't feel what you guys are feeling. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not, you know, it's that fatherlessness we talked about in the last episode. I just don't really have the capacity to feel joy on the level that you guys do. So can we move on to Spain, please?
Yeah, let's talk about Real Madrid's 11 against Atletico. Lucas is right back. Militão, Vallejo, center backs. Nacho, left back. Camavinga, Casemiro, Cruz in the midfield. Asensio, Mariano, Rodrigo, what's up?
Yeah.
Do you know I what? Think,
it's not the strongest team, but it's a strong team.
I think Benzema is going to go into the Goku, the Goku recovery chamber that he used on Planet Namek for like the next 3 weeks. He's not going to play. I wouldn't play Benzema for a single game. I'd play him for like the second half of their last game of the season in the league, and that'll be it.
Only if it's a home game.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch him until then, honestly.
Like, because he can get his fitness at the crib. You don't really need to expose him to jealous people. Yeah.
Get him match fit just before the final. But
so,
I wouldn't.
So since La Liga is over, before we leave Spain, how do you guys envision the league going? I mean, I know we got to wait for the transfer market and shit, but say everyone stands pat. How do we think? I mean, I don't think Real Madrid is winning by another 15 points or however many fucking points they won by this year. Like, that's not happening, right?
I feel Barcelona's going to bounce back.
Yeah.
Barcelona will definitely bounce back, but I still feel like Real Madrid are the team to beat. Atleti will be stronger next year. It's really interesting, though, because Seville, I didn't really see them getting Champions League, but do you know what? Like, they've done incredibly well, especially the fact that they've actually like overtaken Atleti in the weeks leading up, you know, as well. It's like, it's really interesting. But I still think Real Madrid will win it again next year, but they won't win it with like literally six games to spare or whatever, or five games to spare. I don't think they will.
Fair enough. I already have a whole lot of thoughts on the matter. It did occur to me that Barcelona, and I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but Barcelona is like signing Cesar Azpilicueta. And I'm like, that's the kind of, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I respect him as a player, but I don't know that that's the kind of signing Barcelona needs to be making right now.
No.
So it makes me wonder for their future.
That's music to my ears. So that just essentially means if Arsenal get them in the Champions League next year, we're absolutely, Saka is going to absolutely
rinse.
Yeah. So that's music to my ears. Please sign him.
I just want Valencia to be good again, man. That's just what I
said. Yeah, they're another legacy club that, in terms of my formative years of watching football and actually, you know, my most impressionable years of watching football, Valencia were top three teams in Europe.
Yeah. You know, guys, the Mendieta, baby.
Yeah, like all of that, you know, Hector Cooper.
This man's about to say
Santiago Canizares.
This man's about to say
this is before he had blonde hair, by the way. I'm talking real old school.
Yeah, they made that Champions League final one year, right?
They made Rafa. Two in a row.
Was it Rafa coaching them then?
No. It was Hector Cooper.
They made
it in the year 2000, the year 2001. They lost to Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, isn't it?
They lost to Real Madrid one year, yeah, for sure.
And Bayern Munich the other year. The Bayern Munich on penalties. But Valencia, another team that you want to see do well. But the way they're being run right now, I know I'm a tad dramatic talking about Arsenal, the worst run team in Europe. No, Valencia genuinely are the worst run team in Europe. Like,
amen.
Google them.
They hired Gary Neville. Come on.
Yeah, like, they're absolutely the worst run team in Europe. Like, I think they've got like a quarter finished stadium and shit that's just there.
Bro, they started John Carew in the final with Pablo Aimar and Kili Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Kili Gonzalez.
Roberto Ayala. And Deschamps was on the bench.
Rubens Baraja, David Abelda, Vicente.
Deschamps wasn't playing by then. He was cashed.
Like, there was players upon players. Like, they stockpiled so much talent. Like, it was insane.
And they had Toyota on the front of the jerseys and shit. The shit was fly, man. It was a good time. It was a good time in their era.
Like, they literally, and their mascot as well was the bat. Top quality club, man. I hope they're back soon.
I hope Robert Pattinson saves them.
So where are we going next? We should have
Italy.
A Street Fighter theme with a little plane going to the next country.
Well, we just gonna hop right over to Italy.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I like, what's it called, man? I like this Italian race, man. This shit is nuts. These niggas are all crazy.
It's probably objectively speaking, are we gonna say it's probably the most fun league currently?
Yeah, because yeah. Everyone is drunk in Serie A. Like I love even the relegation battle was drunk.
I think, okay, so put it like this year. Napoli are out of it.
These guys are staying up.
Yeah, I know.
They just scored. They're beating Calgary 1-0. Salernitana's really staying up. That's fucking crazy. That is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out of here, man.
It's a two-horse race between Milan and Inter, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely fun while Napoli were there or thereabouts. But yes, two-horse race between Napoli and Inter. Do they have any more Milan derbies in the league? I don't think they do.
No.
The last one was in the cup a couple of weeks ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I very confidently said Inter was gonna win this, and I still feel that way. But they really, really screwed the pooch losing to Bologna midweek. Like, really? Like, really? Like, come on, man. At least take a point, you know. So it's in Milan's hands. It's up to Milan not to fuck this up. Like, if they win out, they win the league. You know, like if they slip up, Inter will take it from them. So it's really that simple right now. I told you motherfuckers back in November that Napoli was not a factor. I'm glad I was proven right.
Of course.
You know, they've never been a factor. It's not in their heritage.
It was fun.
Yeah, of course. It was fun for them to raise the price on Osimhen, you know, like it was fun, you know. But outside of that, you know, I don't know, man.
That's your one.
Yeah,
Napoli winning is almost like, oh yeah, we done what we can do. Oh. However, Juventus did lose. Which is great. Vlahovic is literally playing like the worst version of Giroud.
And that's what I wanted to talk about. I would like for, I know there are like five Arsenal fans on the planet that listen to this podcast, but I would like all five of you plus me and Moose over here, we need to chill on Vlahovic. Okay, we tried. This shit didn't work out. Move the fuck
out. I don't care about him.
Like, why do we care?
It's just hilarious.
I mean, why do we care? I mean, the nigga made his bed, let him sleep in it. Like, let him sleep quietly. Let's focus on our own problems. We have problems.
Niggas moving like a scorned ex and shit.
Right. I'm not really feeling that energy, man. Like, oh, he didn't come to Arsenal. So like it's cool.
Well, it's not really cool. To me, it's generally not about Vlahovic more. Fact, it's just more the fact that it's Juventus. And I hope that they fail at every turn.
Of course.
So it's nice that they spent all that money and like they're not, you know. I mean, there's no chance of Lazio. This was always
the obvious outcome, you know, like I don't care what your agent tells you as a player. If you want to play good football in this era of the game, you don't go to a club coached by Allegri. It's just not on. Well, it's just not what he does.
They secure Champions League football, which is very annoying.
Unfortunately.
I was hoping they'd miss out, but
that would have been nice. That would have been nice. But let Vlahovic prosper in his little, you know, his little hood over there. Like,
but you know what's really interesting? We're gonna talk about the Premier League, right? But if you look at the fourth place team in Italy, which is obviously Juventus. They're on 69 points.
Nice.
The fourth place team in England is on 66 points.
Not nice.
So are we going to say that England is not as competitive as Italy? If you look at the top two teams in Italy,
I just feel as if there's a big gap between the top two in England, because in Italy it's not that crazy. Like Napoli is only 4 points behind Milan.
Yeah.
With two games left. So say Milan collapses, Napoli could still come second.
Yeah.
Chelsea or Arsenal is not getting their nose into the conversation between the two Goliaths in England, you know. So and honestly, yes, Italy has been the most entertaining and interesting of the leagues, but I would say the Premier League has been fantastic this year as well.
The quality of the Premier League is absolutely insane.
It's actually scary.
I have no qualms saying that. The middle teams in England are probably stronger than the middle teams in Italy, and definitely the middle teams in Germany and the middle teams in France. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah,
but that's why you play the games, though.
Yeah, the middle teams in Spain might be a little bit more even. But if you're looking at how the teams fared in Europe, I mean, you had Villarreal in the semi, you got Real Madrid in the final, you had Man City in the semi, and obviously Liverpool in the final. As well, and then you look at the Europa League, you had West Ham, in the semis.
West Ham embarrassed themselves, by the way. Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, they really went to Germany and embarrassed themselves. Like, they need to understand that Daichi Kamada and Frankfurt, Like, yeah. They're not new to this Europa League shit. They're true to it, okay? They fired Unai Emery. They got rid of that nigga. So who the fuck are you, West Ham, going there talking about refs cheating you and shit? Like, maybe don't play Aaron Cresswell at center back. Maybe don't play all your starters against Arsenal a few days before the game. You know, maybe do some smart things and not blame other people for your problems. Very classless club. I don't like that. What is the vibe with West Ham in London, my friend?
You could have Conference League and you had Leicester in the semis as well. So I think, I think overall, I definitely think the middle teams in England are stronger than the middle teams everywhere else in Europe. And obviously the top two teams in England are definitely stronger than the top two teams, I think, in every other any other league as well. So overall, even though the English league isn't as competitive as Italy, I'd say that there's more quality in England. But the gap, I actually do think the gap has slightly been closed. For at least 3-4 years, I've been talking about English teams being far and away just head and shoulders physically and quality wise better than everybody else. But I do feel like the quality that the gap has actually been closed in the last couple of years, which is fun because that means we're going to get less predictable Champions League than we had in the last 2-3 years. I mean, there's been English teams in the finals for the last 3-4 years. So hopefully, you know, if it's not going to be Arsenal next year, I don't want an English team in the finals.
I think part of what made forced transition here, but part of what made the Real Madrid City game so entertaining to the neutral is the fact that, objectively speaking, despite the fact that Real Madrid has won their league with 15 points to spare in 5 weeks or whatever, they're not as good as City is.
Yeah.
They're not as good as Liverpool is. They were not as good as Chelsea is on paper, and they're not as good as PSG was on paper.
Yeah. Well, but, to be honest, I think they're definitely better than Chelsea on paper, 100%.
Now that Chelsea has collapsed. But
no, genuinely.
The year, you would not have said that.
Who have better players than Chelsea? That's never been in doubt. It's the level of physicality and the athleticness that really pushed Chelsea to just really dominate Real Madrid. But I absolutely do not feel like there isn't, apart from the right back, apart from Reece James, there isn't a player I'd swap in Real Madrid's first 11 for any of theirs. Not a single one. Genuinely, not a single one. Like, I think
we've reached a point in history where I'm taking Kante over Toni Kroos. That's just where I'm at with that. So if it's the same midfield, I'm taking Kante over Kroos today. That's how I feel about that.
I absolutely am not. But that's anyway, again, it's those 5 months.
There you go, being anti-black again.
No, anti-Muslim. Two out of 11 is still overwhelmingly, you know.
I don't know about that 2 out of 11 shit, but you know.
I'm not taking, it's just
definitely. There's a reason why Real Madrid is buying Rudiger from Chelsea.
Yeah, but I mean,
is David Alaba like obviously better than Thiago Silva?
Thiago Silva is literally 39 years old, bro.
Yeah, he is 39, but that doesn't mean that the other motherfucker is better than him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The Chelsea's team to me is drag.
Like, it's not as clear-cut as you're making it sound.
I'm not saying that as a hater. I genuinely just look at Chelsea's team and think, ugh.
I mean, I hate Chelsea. That's
it's not even about that. It's not even about hating. It's just that they're just dry, man. I really just think they're dry. Like,
They got a bit of the United thing going on, where too many different managers have purchased too many different players, and certain parts of the team don't quite fit like they should. But I think they have a very talented squad for sure.
I absolutely disagree with that. I feel like they have a squad full of quality. That's good enough to be the third best team in England, but quite literally, nothing more than that.
Like, they're about to be the fifth best team in England the way shit is going. Shit.
So again, I don't know. But anyway, that's story for another day. Which is a good segue. Should we just move on to the Premier League?
Absolutely.
So Tosin, take it away.
All right, let's start United. Let's get the elephant out of the room. We got schlacked by Brighton.
I forgot about that.
But it's literally what you just said. This United is a culmination of too many managers. Like, you got David Moyes players at the team. Juan Mata. You got players from LVG. You got players from Mourinho. You got players from Solskjaer. The shit needs to blow up immediately. And you're just seeing, like, I said it last summer. Once we didn't get midfield, I was like, yeah, this season's going to be ass. I don't care what anybody says. Like, midfield is the most important position in the whole entire, like, team. And our fullbacks stink. Telles is literally not good. I don't know what else to say about him. He's worse than Alexander Butner. And that's a
holy shit. Yeah. That was like the white Eric Jemba Jemba.
Yeah. Worse than him. And it's just like, I don't know what anybody expects. Everyone says Ralph sucks as a coach. Like, yeah, Ralph can suck as a coach, but at the same time, like, you trying to make lemonade out of fucking cow shit. That's not gonna taste good. Like, not good. Like
cow shit lemonade.
Like, the team's not good, and it is what it is. Like, I'm not upset. Like, I'm just like, yo.
Technically, he's trying to make lemonade out of horse cum, but you know that's a long story. I was gonna say though, like, a lot of Ralph criticism, and yes, you can argue that, you know, despite no matter what's going on at United, the squad is still good enough, and they have good enough players that the manager should still be coming forth. But is that really what you guys want? Like, you want them to just keep managing and just keep dragging shit along? Like, nah, I think for me, and I tweeted this the other day, Ralph is the best hire post Sir Alex. Because the way he's been super German about everything, like, listen, these niggas suck. I ain't gonna be here next season. I'm cashing a check. I'm scamming you, nigga. Like, I feel like that whole scammer energy that he brought to the club has made it very obvious that shit has to change, that you guys
there isn't a place to hide.
Right, you know? Right. And I feel as if coming forth with this lot would have meant a whole lot of like, well, maybe we just need to add like Hannibal to the team and they'll be okay, or, you know, some dumb shit like that. Now they know it's a full clear that's needed outside of a couple guys.
And I definitely feel like, again, I'm not singling out Bruno, but the season Bruno came and you guys got second and you got player of the year or whatever, that might have been one of the worst things that's happened to you post Fergie, because it essentially got Ollie a new contract, right? It also papered over cracks, and it also gave Bruno a ridiculous amount of credit in the bank.
Too much power.
Do you know what I mean? So it was just like, where do we go from here now? You've literally based your whole team around getting the best out of a player that literally needs so much in place for him to go well, for him to actually affect the game. And more often than not, football isn't like that. You know what I mean?
You basically got to play the guy with a leash. Like, he's so reckless, wasteful.
You literally need United are at a stage where they need players that are going to make, that's going to make shit work regardless of the circumstances. You can't have players that are just, I need this to work and I need that to work. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. So, but honestly speaking, Ralph, I said to all of my guys, all of my United guys, like, I was like, guys, because a lot of them didn't know shit about him. But I was like, guys, you're getting a guy that's essentially going to be able to tell you, not only tell you what is wrong, but essentially give you a guide on how to fix it. And he might not be the guy to actually fix it, but he will know what to essentially do. Like, he's very, very, very meticulous, but he's also very honest. And he's not going to hide him. Like, when people were coming up to him after the match, talking about, yeah, sign Bellingham, sign him. He was like, are you guys joking? Like, he literally said, like, are you joking? Like, what do you think this is? Like, he knows the job at hand. And he knows what United are going to be capable of in this precise moment. He's not going to sell anybody dreams. And I feel like a reality check is what was... Because Ole had a lot of people in dreamland. Ole himself is in dreamland. Ole still thinks it's 1999. A lot of United fans still think it's 99. They still think that, oh, we've got the pool and we're this and we're that. And fans like Tosin have been telling guys for at least 6-7 years, guys, we need to blow this shit up. It's not going the way you guys think it is. We are not the United that you grew up on. There are teams that have lapped us over. Like, we've let Liverpool come and completely and utterly lap us. City have been lapping us for the last 10 years.
You got 58 points, bro. 58 points. Like, 58. Exactly.
People aren't, it's only now when it's obvious, but it's like, bro, like, we could have seen this happening so how many years? Like, I feel like when you signed Schweinsteiger, I was like, okay, yeah, United are definitely done now. I was like, they're officially done now. Because
honestly, it was for me, what's his face? The nigga with the afro, Fellaini.
Really?
Yep. That's when I was like, okay, this is going poorly. Mm-hmm. We're gonna catch these guys soon enough. I wasn't too worried after that.
When people were defending Fellaini, I was just like, do you know what the fucking standards is to be United player? That is not a United player. And he kept scoring. I was like, yo, it doesn't matter. He could score 100 goals in the season. Nigga is not good. Yeah. So it's like, this has been 10 years of culmination of shit. And like, the only reason I'm optimistic is because someone like Jerome Murtaugh, who came in and like, he's effective in charge of water football, If that was Woodward, Woodward would have hired Pochettino a long time ago. And I think everybody knows that. John took his time and was just like, yo, we're hiring Ten Hag. We're not doing the traditional bullshit. So it's just like there is some room for optimism, but you know.
If I were you, I'd be optimistic because I mean that's the default setting of the sports fan. You have to be hopeful for the future for sure.
Yeah.
But I want to reiterate, as I did probably about a month ago on this motherfucker, there is nothing wrong with Mauricio Pochettino.
No.
There's nothing wrong with him as a manager. He just went to a bad club.
Mm-hmm.
Every manager that goes to PSG does not leave that place smelling nice. They just don't. Blanc, Ancelotti, Tuchel, Emery, all of them get turfed out with their reputation in tatters a little bit. So I just want to point out that is still a good manager. He may not have won things anywhere but wherever the fuck it is, France, but Pochettino is a good manager. I don't know if he's better than Ten Hag or not as good as Ten Hag. That's irrelevant, but he's still a good manager.
If he had ended up at United,
I would have been optimistic as a United fan as well. That's now, how I feel about that.
In the league in France is a good indicator that you're able to essentially if you're managing PSG, you're able to meet the minimum requirement.
The bare minimum, yes.
Yeah, you're able to do that. Anything beyond that, I wouldn't use as a barometer of your quality. But at the same time, it's difficult because you can only play what's in front of you. But yeah, United overall, though, to be honest, I'm not going to really take the piss today. I was finishing my Harry Potter marathon, first time I ever watched Harry Potter for my life, and I absolutely enjoyed it. Eventually, it kind of got my nose, but I turned it off. I turned it off after, you know, Deathly Hallows Part 2. And literally, I couldn't actually fathom what I was seeing. I thought it was like a championship game or a League One game that was being played a bit later in the day. Because I could only see it like on a little screen because I was moving over from apps, basically. And then I saw the United game. I was like, what the actual... It literally happened right after... I literally switched on right after Welbeck had chipped De Gea. So I was like...
So that was in the first half, right?
No, yeah. Second half.
That was the first half.
Wait, United were down 4-0 in the first half?
No. That chip happened in the first half. I remember because it was supposed to be 2-0. If he had scored, that would have been 2-1.
When Trossard got the rebound, basically, that chip.
Oh, that's a different one then. But
yeah, that was the first
go on to your point, my bad.
Yeah, so when I saw that, I went to look at the United team. I think, okay, who's playing? Because I was confused that United could be losing 4-0 to Brighton, even though Brighton they create a lot of chances. I was just like, what the fuck? So I watched the rest of the game peter out. I was like, okay, I see what's happening. The players have essentially just mailed it in. That's all that's happened. The players have just mailed it in. They know it's done. And they're waiting for the season to finish because pretty much almost everyone that started that game yesterday probably shouldn't be at United anyway.
Yeah, but
they're probably going to be gone. So
honestly, it's weird because, you know, I spent my whole life dreaming for days like this when United would suffer. Yeah. And I enjoyed that 90 minutes more than I've enjoyed many Arsenal games this year. I promise you. But in the cold light of day, like, man, that was just really sad to watch, man. That was just really sad to watch. Like,
what kind of
Manchester United. Like, that kind of shit is not happening to Juventus in Italy right now. I promise you that.
Yeah.
That shit is not happening to Juventus. No matter what, I mean, they got relegated and they didn't go through some shit like that. Like, Brighton, really? They don't even have strikers.
I just think that's what annoys me. It's like, you know, I'm going to sound a bit elitist here, but Brighton have no business beating United.
No, they don't. Period. Forget their elitist shit. They do not have any business beating United like that.
Exactly. It's going to jump up and jack up these players. Thinking, yeah, we beat United 4-0. Like, it's like, bro, like, you're at Brighton. Like, just
honestly, it's like a, like, this. It is elitist, but in a sense, it's almost like an insult to football heritage.
Yeah.
Something like that can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said it yesterday, right? I looked at United 11. We'll move on soon, but we're looking at United 11, right? As an argument that can be made that none of those players in a realistic world should be at United's 11 next season. Like, De Gea should be moved on big time. Dalot and Wan-Bissaka, they're both not good enough.
Yeah.
Varane, I was not Varane's biggest fan. Because like I said, I remember watching Madrid against Shakhtar like a few years ago when Madrid had those pink hits that season and they lost to Chelsea in Champions League semifinals that season. And Varane made two mistakes against Shakhtar. I was like, I do not want this guy at United. I was like, I do not like him. Maybe he'll change next season. But
he's a good player, obviously. Yeah. You don't stay at Madrid for as long as he did if you're not a good player. He was the Saliba of his own generation, if you remember the way people talk about him before he went to Real Madrid.
Yep.
However, he's like in a defensive partnership when you play a defense with two guys in the middle, two center backs. One is the leader, one is the aggressor. One is one that tells the other one when to go, when to stay, all that kind of shit. And Varane is not that guy. Mm-hmm. He's the one that needs his hand held.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, his OG in that team would be Harry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I'm going to keep going through that 11, then we'll move on. But Lindelof,
please, keep going.
Lindelof should not be there, for sure.
Nah.
That guy is, he'll be great in Spain. He reminds me of Pau Torres, and that's not a good thing. Alex,
tell us. Kind of look alike.
Yeah. Two handsome bastards who are not good at defending. Pau Torres, Alex Telles already said he's not good enough. Scott McTominay has been in the United for 5 years. At this point, like, Scott McTominay does what he does, but he's just like, if you're...
I'll be honest, he's not a footballer, and I don't like the fact that he was giving interviews about telling Rashford and Lingard to take off their chains. Fuck Scott McTominay forever. Fuck him. Sorry.
Like he thinks he's Roy Keane because he plays rough and they don't card him. Yeah. Like, you're not that good, bro. Like, and I've always kind of liked him as a player because... I watch football with the eyes of an NBA scout. If you're over 6 feet tall, I'm like, give him a chance. Let me see what he can do. Like, I like a tall player, you know, but honestly, I think I've seen enough out of him. He is the one that we should have been talking about the way we talked about Declan Rice a couple of years ago. He might be a good center back.
Yeah.
But as a midfielder, he needs to be playing for Hull City.
Well, he plays center back for Scotland, which is really interesting.
He could be a good backup center back at United.
Yeah,
that's what he can be at United. Matic, but if he's starting in your midfield, you're not doing shit.
Matic is old.
He's old. That's all it was. He's class player, though.
Such a good player. Like, it's actually hilarious. His legs are gone, but he's such a good player.
He's going to go to Roma and enjoy, so that's good for him.
You know what? That would be a good... Well, Mourinho does love Matic. He does love Matic a lot. So maybe he would leave Xhaka alone and get Matic this summer.
Anthony Elanga, I've seen enough. He's not that level. He's not that guy. It's okay. He's not that guy.
Damn, you dumped him quick.
Yeah. Juan Mata, again, he's old. Bruno Fernandes, again, how many times have we said about Bruno on this podcast? I'm tired of talking about Bruno Fernandes. It's a real Encanto hours over here because we don't talk about Bruno. And Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean, whatever. So, yeah, that's the 11. And I was like, look at that whole entire 11. Why are you mad about a team that literally you need to like get rid of everybody that started yesterday? Like, imagine being mad over a team that you know all 11 players should not be starting. Like, that is the stupidest thing in the world to me. Like, yo, you know everybody should be gone, and yet you're vexed. For what reason? You know these niggas aren't that good. So it's just like, hopefully we don't end up in Conference League, because West Ham won 4-0 today. And if they beat City, which they probably won't, United will end up in Conference League. So you better not lose to Crystal Palace. You better hope Brighton beats them. So, you know.
So like, United 6 right now, yeah?
Yeah, we're 6. We finished 7th.
That's Europa League.
Yeah, we finished 7th. That's Comfort League. Wolves is shit. So we can't.
You think he's better finish 8th?
Like, yeah, you can't. We can't.
Because
United in Comfort League is.
Because listen, man, if you motherfuckers end up going to games in fucking Moldova and shit, this podcast will get very violent and nasty. Because I will have bars for you. Many bars.
We're going to Turkmenistan. But I'm shameless enough to say that if we win Conference League, I'll say this. None of you guys ever did the lot. We did the lot.
That is very true. That is very, very true.
Like, yo, that's why this week I was like, when I saw Jose Mourinho crying because Roma made the final of Conference League, I was like, this scamming son of a bitch. He just gave this trophy credibility. Because now everyone is like, well, if Mourinho thinks it's a trophy, why wouldn't you think? Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? They're right. If Mourinho thinks it's a trophy, let me tell you this now.
If you offer Mourinho the Europa League or Conference League at the beginning of the year, he's taking the Europa League every time.
Of course, but still.
Such a cheeky boss.
Did you see how he was crying?
It was all for the cameras, but
deep down the winner. Of course. Yes. He's the greatest actor as a manager of all time.
He loves to win, though.
You know what Mourinho's going to say in the camera? Three times. Who's won it? Me. All three? Yeah.
Roma is sixth in the table in Italy. Of course he's going to pump that shit up. Like, you know, they're not doing nothing with no sixth in Italy, you know? So, yeah. Of course, you know, like, I'm so happy for Roma, a club this big deserves trophies in there. It's like, bro, they literally just made this shit up yesterday. Like, we don't even know what the trophy looks like yet. Like, they haven't given it out one time, you know? It might be a trinket.
I'm going to tell you what the trophy looks like. My God, that is very true.
Hey, quickly, let's move on to Arsenal. I'm going to give you guys a fun stat. The consecutive season English top flights, that means that the teams that stayed in like the top flight for the longest, like the first division, You know who's number one with the most seasons in the English top flight?
It's Arsenal. One of Arsenal or Everton.
Arsenal with 96 seasons in the top flight. Everton with 68. Liverpool with 60. United with 47. Tottenham 44. Chelsea 33. City 20.
And what do we call that? Football heritage.
So what I'm trying to say is that Everton look like they might be staying up, man. They might be staying up.
I'm okay with that. I like Everton.
I hope. I really hope they do. They do just about to not annoy me.
And yeah, Everton's one of those teams where like when we joke around and say football heritage, Everton's football heritage.
Yeah, no, they are. They actually they're Premier League heritage at the very least. You know,
I need Burnley to go down though, man. Like
I'm sick of Burnley, man.
Bro, I don't know how they're doing it, man. I don't know if it's the spirit of Michael Jackson for real helping these niggas out, but I don't like that shit. I don't like it at all.
Burnley's next game is against Tottenham. That's a bit sticky still.
That is sticky.
Burnley, what, on the weekend,
right? And they got Aston Villa, and then they got Newcastle. So it's not...
They lost to Aston Villa yesterday.
They did. Yeah, brutally, actually. Yeah. It was bad. 4-1 or something like that.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Clarion Blues. So
I just think if Leeds can get a result in their next game, I think Burnley will go down.
Amen.
You just need Leeds to do something. Like, because
Leeds have
Chelsea.
Leeds have next. Ooh, Chelsea, Brighton.
But I also feel like Chelsea might be awake, even though they got a bad result this weekend. I feel like they might be awake because now that Arsenal is a point behind Chelsea, I feel like surely that's going to make them pep up a bit. Like, all right, we need to start playing again because they're obviously better than Leeds. Like, we can say what we want about this, but they're better than Leeds. So they should be able to beat Leeds. But I don't know. I don't know what's more motivating, coming in top four or avoiding relegation. Like, I don't know.
What's really confusing me is how the flip do we all have two games in hand on United still after all this time. That is crazy.
Fuck United, nigga.
Anyway. No, look, I don't even mean that in a rude way, but I'm just the way the season has gone has been crazy. Yeah. But you
that
know,
it's a bad season, man. It's a bad season.
But with Arsenal today was, I'd rather not put it like this. We didn't record last week, did we? No, we didn't. Okay, cool. So we won. Well, our last two games, we won 2-1, right? And the difference in levels of performances for both 2-1 results is actually hilarious. So last week, I don't know if I've admitted this to you guys on the pod, the guys from the pod actually know, but to you, our listeners, I made a vow never to go to an Arsenal game until we're back into the Champions League. I made that vow after our 2-0 loss on the opening day of the season. To City a couple of years ago. So I actually haven't, this was before lockdown. So I haven't actually been to a game since then up until last Sunday. And I was like, in that period, Arsenal done a lot of bullshit. We also done a lot of good things as well. And last week was the first time that I genuinely felt that after this long road of finishing back-to-back eighth places, hiring Emery, getting rid of Emery and whatnot, the remnants of, you know, Arsene Wenger's squad, because now I think Oli Xhaka remains, I believe, from
Elneny.
Xhaka and Elneny, shall I say, are the only ones that remain, right? And this is the first time that I've genuinely felt that Arsenal have not only done things that deserve to be rewarded off the pitch, but we're doing the right things on the pitch as well to be rewarded for it as well. And I know it might sound a bit nitpicky and a bit elitist, if you're like, oh, you should support your team regardless. I don't give a fuck if that's what you think, innit. I have my reasons for feeling that way, and Arsenal have done an amazing job so far this season of actually being in contention for the Champions League. And I'm talking strictly up until the West Ham game. I'm not talking about the Leeds game. So my faith of going to support my team in person was restored, because so many times had I been to see Arsenal leading up to that 2-0 game against City that I literally couldn't believe how much time I'd wasted, because it was so mundane and so robotic, and so it's like, you know how it's going to go kind of thing. I was at our last ever Champions League game where we lost 5-1. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've seen a lot of fuckery, and it became so unbearable. It was like getting up, knowing that I'm going to the game, and knowing that it's going to be a complete shit show was just really, really, really frustrating. And now I feel like not only are the club deserving of my coins, and not only just me, but people around me, I'm happy to take people to games with me. And it's like, come along, let's go support the Arsenal kind of thing, because the good, like the feeling is there. We're playing youth players, and our youth players are essentially our best players at this point. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing, like, the manager saying the right things, that, you know, the club off the pitch are trying to do the right things. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can actually hit the players, the quality of players that we're linked with, like, it's all coming together. So, you know, God forbid we don't make Champions League kind of thing, I at least know that, okay, do you know what? Maybe it wasn't to be this year, even though really it should be. We're doing the right things. We're genuinely doing the right things. Like, there's evidence, there's proof in the pudding there to say that we're doing the right things. The next step up for Arsenal, for me personally, is if you make Champions League, when we go to City, when we go to Liverpool, do not lose 5-0. That's, to me, will show genuine progress. Like, that is, because those, let's be honest, Man City and Liverpool are the best teams on the planet. Like, let's not make no mistake, but they're the best teams on the planet. So, yeah, anybody can lose to them in a horrible fashion kind of thing. But progress for Arsenal would be us going to those games. And even if we don't win kind of thing, we get a draw, but it's a competitive draw. We get a win, maybe it's a lucky win, but losing 5-0, like, I'm not being funny, we're not Aston Villa, we're not Burnley, we're not any of these teams. Arsenal that can afford to spend £72 million on one player shouldn't be going to these teams and losing 5-0, regardless of the fact if they're the best two teams on the planet. A couple of Arsenal stature, that should not be happening. So the next stage for Arsenal, for me, after we make Champions League next year, making these games as competitive as possible, because the next stage after that is now we go toe-to-toe with them kind of thing. So it's I'm not being unrealistic. I'm not being saying we have to be winning there straight away next year, but I know what this Arsenal team is capable of, and I know what this Liverpool and City team are capable of. Arsenal need to be closer to them on the pitch. We can't just let them run away with games anymore, because it shouldn't be an easy 3 points for them every time we face them. You know what I mean? So that's just where I'm at, and I'm incredibly happy with the fact that the likes of Saka, ESR, even someone like Rob Holding, like, not his biggest fan, but I'm really, really happy that he's doing his job. You know what I mean? And then he's coming in, he's done his job. Like, Arteta has got everybody fighting for each other. It's a good place to be at, where you are. Where we're at now is a good place to be, is what I'm trying to say. It's not doom and gloom. Arsenal are moving forward, and I hope we can get Joao Felix and Osimhen.
There's not a lot else to add to that. I'm obviously happy with where we are right now. Hopefully we can see the season out the way we want it to happen with the top four finish. We're coming for you, Chelsea. But I'm just glad to have kept the faith. That's all. Like, I kind of felt like this was the future. I didn't expect it to happen this quickly, but it has happened. And I'm just very, very, very pleased. I'm just nervous that, you know, because we're like right there. We're right there. So we just got to close it out.
It almost feels like even if we don't get it, it's like we proved we could. Do you know what I mean? Which is bad. Also, don't listen to me. Go and get that shit. Go and win on Thursday, innit? Don't fuck around. Go and win it. But it just feels like gave us a chance. Like, 3 games in a row we lost, and we hadn't scored a goal, I don't think. We had like an aggregate score of like 9-0 in the first 3 games or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were just really, really in a bad place. Literally nobody gave us a chance. If you go to all the pundits predict a top four at the beginning of the season, not a single person had Arsenal top four.
We had the worst transfer window too.
Yeah.
Apparently, we spent the most, everyone said we wasted our money.
It's very, very pleasing to me and my armed robbers that Arsenal are very, very much in contention for Champions League. And we could be in contention for third place as well. So again, it's a good place to be. I have my own. I can go into a much deeper critical analysis of what
really,
I
really nigga. No, don't do that, please.
I'm not going to. But the overall feeling is, I am incredibly happy with where we're at right now, and I really just hope that we can push forward. Like, that is my ultimate goal. Like, push forward.
I'm gonna tell you this as a professional Arsenal hater.
and he is, guys. Believe him. Trust me.
What Mikel Arteta actually has become my favorite dictator in the world. Just passed Abacha. He said, and I quote, "Now hopefully they have realized, talking about the Arsenal legends, that anyone who wants to contribute to what we're doing with advice and support, he's more than welcome to come. Yeah. Anyone that wants to poison the club, he's going to be very far away from the club." And listen, that nigga is ruthless, and I love it. And the thing is that I've said before, I'm jealous of Arsenal's rebuild, because that's how you properly rebuild a club. Like, in the last 3 years, everybody's gone. I think that's the ruthlessness that I need from United, to the point where it's just like, I don't give a fuck. If I got to pay you to leave, get the fuck out of my club. That's just where I'm at with it. And you can see that the players abide into what the coach wants. And that's the biggest thing you want from any – I don't care if you're City, you're Liverpool, you're Barcelona, you're Madrid. You need everyone to buy into what your coach wants to do.
Yeah, you can't have a person's voices.
Like it sounds very cliche and simple, but mm-hmm. that's essentially the definition of a team.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. Like you need to have a team. Everyone needs to be going in the same direction.
And that's why when I tell United fans, like, if Ten Hag wants to go get a fucking guy from Suriname who wants to play left back, if he feels that that's who he wants to play as left back, go get that nigga.
This nigga's dreaming about Clarence Seedorf. Stop it. You're not getting no Seedorf, nigga. That's Camavinga. He's gone. Don't worry about that.
I said left back, not
whatever, Suriname. Nigga. You talking that Suriname shit. I know where you're going with that shit, nigga. Stop it. Stop
it. Curacao. Let's go get a player from Curacao. You want Kiki Vandeweghe, nigga? We go get Kiki Vandeweghe. But no, like what I'm trying to say is, like, it's impressive to see how Arsenal's like improved themselves in the last like couple of years. And you know, it's a perfect example for any other big team. And even Liverpool, like I was just talking to a Liverpool fan who like I'm good friends with, and just saying, like, I remember 2014, Roy Hodgson was saying how like he wanted to fucking, like, he doesn't matter, Liverpool get relegated. And this is 8 years, you know, you see what Klopp has rebuilt. Even like those are times these niggas are playing Dulcena and they're playing fucking Jay Spearing in midfield. And now look at them, like they got Jundra.
Again, you know, that's a very good point on Liverpool, actually, because their rebuild is essentially how you wake up a sleeping giant. That is essentially I'm not saying that they've done it perfectly and they got everything right kind of thing, but they got more decisions right than they did wrong. And
that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and the thing is they did it in a way that pretty much it looks easy, but let's be honest. Look at what Klopp took over from compared to what they are now. It's undisputed that Liverpool are one of the top two teams in the entire world. Like that is genuinely undisputed. Like to take it from where they were. Sorry, Tosin, go ahead, say that again.
Yeah, I tweeted this from CBS's account when I was working when Liverpool played against Villarreal. Yeah. Literally remember Klopp's squad at Anfield versus the squad he took versus Anfield against Villarreal in the Champions League semi-final versus the one Europa League. It is literally night and day. Like it is night. Like this is Klopp's first 11 when he first got to Liverpool. Mingele was in goal. Klein, Skrtel, Sako, Alberto Moreno was his back four. Lucas Levia, Emre Can, Coutinho, Lallana, Origi, and Milner was his front three. On the bench was Adam Bogan, Kolatore, Joe Allen, Jerome Sinclair, Teixeira, and Conor Randall. That was his bench. Now, you look at Liverpool now, you got Alisson in goal, Trent, Van Dijk, Matip, Robertson, Fabinho, Henderson. Who else played? Thiago, Mane, Salah, and Diaz. That is a fucking night change. And the thing is, and Ten Hag said it too. He said that even when Liverpool finished eighth, they still could find a way to get players that fit their system. They got Mane, they got Salah, and they got players that literally fit them, and they turn them into what they are now.
And that's a good point about the player profiles. Luis Diaz is pretty much a summation of where Liverpool are at right now as a club. He is the definition of what everybody knew who Luis Diaz was, right? They knew who he was. United wanted him, Tottenham wanted him, cool. Liverpool wanted him, Liverpool got him kind of thing. He doesn't speak a word of English, but he understands Liverpool. He understands Liverpool's style of play. He came in there was no better than him, period. Not only did they get their man at a good price, they got someone that looks to be already world class, someone that hasn't even disrupted the rhythm of their, like, straight away he came in, and what did they do? They just started playing Mane up front.
Yeah,
that was it. That's the only tactical change they made, and it has made zero difference to the way they play.
Well, you don't get to want an example of what Luis Diaz has done since he came to Liverpool is Nardo Wick, who wants smoke. That's came to start playing Nardo Wick when he came, because these guys
exactly that. And the thing is, you look at Liverpool's style of play, especially over the last couple of years, is let's create high quality and high volume chances for our forward players because they're the best finishers, basically. So every time a Liverpool forward seems to get a chance, Dean will correct me if I'm wrong here, right? And you can adopt this, but every time a Liverpool player seems to get a chance, right? Does it always seem that they've always got all the time in the world to pick their spot? That's what it feels like to me.
Like,
it's always high quality chances that they're manufacturing for their forwards, and they don't
fucking stop. It's insane.
And that's the thing. And yesterday they had a bit of a stumbling block with Tottenham. I didn't watch all of the game kind of thing, but think of it like this. They were behind for what, about 10 minutes at that, and they found a way back in. And guess who scored? Luis Diaz, someone that's been there for 3 months. Like, Liverpool have really set the blueprint on how to wake up a sleeping giant, essentially. And I'm not saying everybody should follow that, but in terms of their patience and in terms of being looking for the right people, not even just the right player, but the right people around the club. Yes, everybody should probably be looking at Liverpool, because Liverpool didn't just say, "Oh, we're gonna throw money at this guy, throw money at this guy, and getting all the best scouts." No, no, they were literally looking for people that were gonna fit the ethos of what Liverpool want to do. Go on, Dean.
And this is not to undercut anything that's happened at Liverpool. You know, they deserve all their success and whatnot. But I would say one of the main things that people maybe don't talk about as often when it comes to Liverpool's rebuild is how they took advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, Coutinho, I'm not sure I want to stay. I want to go to Barcelona. Blah, blah. They got their 140. They split that between Alisson and Van Dijk. And the project just went boom from there. You know,
exactly.
They took advantage of a situation like, so the equivalent at Arsenal would be, you know, like knowing that you don't really have a real use for someone like Ainsley Maitland-Niles or someone like Eddie Nketiah, and selling them when you can get money for them, not waiting until the contract is done to be talking about, well, will he resign or not? But I don't want to complain about Arsenal. You know, it's like, you know, when there's an opportunity, take it. You have to be realistic about this shit. It's like, if they had kept Coutinho, he would have been there unhappy.
Yeah.
And it's not as if they were where they needed to be as a team anyway. So they got rid of him and put him into two better players.
Exactly. The funny thing with that, tactically as well, he wouldn't have fitted Klopp's philosophy anyway, because Klopp complained about the fact that Coutinho couldn't run backwards.
He doesn't run in behind. And he doesn't
try to run in behind, but he couldn't run backwards with the same intensity as he would run forward. And he essentially needs that. He essentially needs that from his centre midfield, because he was never going to play him in a forward line, because in a forward line, for a Klopp team, you need to be scoring goals. And Coutinho scores spectacular goals. He doesn't score enough. So
you know who he reminds me the most of, actually? Coutinho.
Go on.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say this. There's a lot of overlap between the way he plays and the way Bruno Fernandes plays.
Hey, man, I was just about to say, Bruno, Alexis, and Coutinho are like the same
Pokemon.
Yeah. It's like Pikachu, Raichu, and I forgot the last one. What are the last
ones? Suckchu.
Charmander, Charmeleon, and Charizard, essentially. I definitely think Alexis is Charizard, though.
Which one of those Pokemon owns dogs?
Bruno's Charmeleon, I think. Yeah, I think
Bruno's a scammer.
Yeah, but with Liverpool in general,
is Pichu, Pikachu, and Raichu?
That's the one. Yes,
yeah.
Pichu came out years after the first generation, though. Bloody hell. With Liverpool in general, though, yesterday they might have lost the title yesterday, but even if they haven't, kind of thing, Liverpool aren't going to ever collapse. I don't see a collapse happening. Klopp has brought them so far forward that them are disasters, essentially missing out on the league by what looks to be one game, literally 3 points. That's what looks to have lost in the league. That is quote unquote a disaster for them. And they're still in the Champions League final, right, kind of thing. So they've come an incredibly, incredibly long way. I don't really have much to say about Tottenham other than the fact that Thursday you're getting that work. And shout out to Conte for making a functional team out of that defensive midfield, because that forward line is literally the carry job of the season. Like, I've never seen a team be carried so much by a forward line, because I'm not being funny, I don't trust that defense. I definitely do not trust that midfield. Benzeko has done well when he's come in, since he's come in, definitely. Højbjerg is a weirdo. He's okay sometimes, but he's mostly average. Your defense is just, it is what it is, man. But that forward line is pretty darn insane. I would not even front. Kulusevski has been an insane buy. Like, his actual goal contributions, I think, is even being... They're being overlooked because of how well he's playing. Like, he's literally playing well every week.
Honestly, so, I feel like he's going to be the best player in the Europa League next season.
Yeah.
Bro, look, man, all I can say is this. It's just, it's insane just how, like, there's examples of what to do and what not to do. And I know a lot of people, and this is my last point about United. I know a lot of people like, oh, why United fans complain about the Glazers? I'm like, Liverpool, Chelsea just got sold to Todd Boehly, by the way. Right, what they told Todd Boehly is you can't do what the Glazers did, which is effectively like, you know, you can't leverage the club's money, like you can't do shit like that. There's an anti-Glazer clause in the fucking way that they bought the club. Do you know how insane that is? That, like, to show like how bad the Glazers have ran United, that like you have when a club gets sold, you can't, they have to tell them you can't do what they did. There's literally a clause in there, you can't do what they did. So for anyone saying the why United fans complaining the Glazers let you spend money, you bitch ass niggas, there's literally a fucking clause in there that says that like you can't do what the Glazers did. Like for the last 20 years, you've seen how bad United have been ran. So you know.
Quick update. Salernitana ended up fucking the bag up. They tied Beaumont with Cagliari.
Fuck no, I was actually invested.
Yeah, man. But I mean, listen, at the end of the day, the Premier is gonna be crazy next season. I think the whole transfer market is gonna be nuts next season.
I don't think neither City and Liverpool are running away with it next year. I think
it's I think there are enough good teams in the league that will take points off them next season.
Just take points off them, but I feel like the other teams will probably start picking up points. So for example, City or Liverpool will probably win the league next year. However, it's not going to be 20 points.
No.
It might just be nine.
Instead. I think whoever wins the league next year will probably win it with 80-something as opposed to 90-something.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. That's normal. That's how leagues are won. All this 100-point bullshit is like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? Like, is this the Harlem Globetrotters or is this sports? Honest,
the drugs should have been
worn off by now. That's the problem. They're replacing niggas and shit. They got Luis Diaz in. He got like fresh veins for, you know, needle shots and shit. Like, it's tough, man. These niggas doping. If it's not financial doping, it's doping. Like, I'm tired of this shit. Arteta needs to go and find us a doctor who got them wrong.
Justin, I think he needs to cut. No, I think we're going to go off into our conspiracy bag. And it's Sunday.
Let's real fast. Let's hit Champions League. I never once doubted. Real Madrid going to lose.
No. Like, no,
it is that club to me, like they beat me into respect because it's just like niggas are insane. Like I remember, you know, I think about it now. I knew they were gonna win once Benzema hit that Panenka. Do you know how insane it is? You're down 4-2 in the way club. You're 5 minutes left and you hit a Panenka. They had no respect for them.
Do you know what else it is? Right, the Panenka was the symbolic kind of amalgamation of the fact that you knew Real Madrid were going through. Right, but it was more of the fact that City played so incredibly well, and Real Madrid just said, "No, we're still in this game, bro. Like, yeah, you're gonna outplay us. Yeah, you're better physically than us. Yeah, you're in a better moment than us, form wise, whatever. Cool, but that doesn't matter because this is the Champions League, bro. And you guys literally know shit about that. You guys don't know fuck. This is the Champions League. This is Real Madrid's competition, kind of thing. So yeah, do all your fufu lame, kung fu shit, all that shit. I don't care about this. Here's a gun." they couldn't be more on
guns. Guns, Pep Guardiola just dropped a bomb on Liverpool.
What did he say?
He said Liverpool has an incredible history in European competitions, not in the Premier League because they've only won one in 30 years.
Well, I mean, how is that a bomb if it's true?
You don't say that.
Yes, the fuck you do. Like, when you're salty about the fact that you're not in the Champions League final and they are, but you're going to win the league anyway, which is, you know, all real niggas that watch the sport understand that the true sign of a good team is a team that wins the league. Okay, you can win cups. You can get hot and win a cup. That's what Real Madrid is doing right now. They just have that heritage of getting hot in the European Cup. But if you're a truly good team, you win your league. That's why we brag about the Invincibles.
Well, Real Madrid have won their league as well, to be
fair. And they have.
I get what you mean. The Real Madrid are an amazing side. That's not.
You know, but yeah, but Pep deserves to be petty. Like, fuck it. Yeah. Like, I mean, shit, man. I mean, I know we make fun of the motherfucker and shit because he doesn't win more, even though he wins a lot. But yeah, he should talk his shit. Like, I'm tired of this whole respectful rivalry that they have. It's like, why isn't Pep saying stuff about Klopp's wife? Huh? Yeah. Are we beyond that as a society to not insult each other's spouse anymore?
I kind of think we are, dude, because speaking of guns, right?
Listen, man, I don't want to live in this society anymore. Please take my catalytic converter out of my body and let me die, please.
No, but seriously, like there isn't I don't feel like there isn't a club you want to face the least more than the Real Madrid and Champions League, this current Real Madrid side anyway, because The true definition of where they are and what they're at is Carlo Ancelotti. Carlo Ancelotti is very much just, you know what? I'm going to put all of you guys together in this formation and in this shape, and you guys are going to figure this shit out. Because if you don't look at me for answers, kind of thing. I've given you guys the tools, essentially. And they did. They figured, they kind of, don't get me wrong, I know obviously Carlo Ancelotti isn't that basic, but there has been rumors in the past, you know, Robin has said that the training methods are way more advanced in these kids' teams than they are with Carlo Ancelotti when he was at Bayern Munich. Right. And I hear that, but.
But that's because Carlo Ancelotti respects you as a professional. He expects you to know some shit when he shows up.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, when you have that midfield of Casemiro, Cruz, and Modric, if you can't trust that midfield, then you get out of the game.
Why are you managing them? Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. So it shouldn't really matter. But
you guys are going to laugh. Do you know what Modric's nickname is?
Go on.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Nah, his nickname is Daddy in the locker room.
Because the nigga is 40 years old or whatever the fuck.
But listen, I think he's a year younger than Rodrigo's dad. So
holy shit.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it's like a year older than Rodrigo's dad.
Yeah, there should do be like when I watch the NBA and I see Ja Morant's dad, I'm like, me and that nigga might be the same age. like if they had just canceled Roe v. Wade when I was in college, I too could have a child in the NBA right now.
Yeah, you know it's crazy though. Ja Morant's dad has a beard with no mustache. I know that nigga's up to no good.
Hey man, him and Abraham Lincoln, the most dangerous Americans to ever live.
You know who else has a beard with no mustache, and we know how nasty he is? Usher. And on that note, is there anything else you want to talk about before we like leave?
I'm gonna stick my neck out and say I see Liverpool winning the Champions League, but I hope they don't.
Yeah.
I think Real Madrid is winning it.
I think Liverpool ending this season with just the Cucubaro Cup will make my heart just
fall. Oh, if they finish with the Kakarot Cup, oh, man.
No. I can't have that happen because I need them to win the FA Cup because I don't want Chelsea winning shit ever. I don't care. Like, a cup double, no one gives a fuck about that shit. Congratulations. I don't want Chelsea winning anything. So I want Liverpool to win their Carabao and the FA Cup. Then everything else should go to someone else. I'm sorry. I'm not into this whole.
My final point is, like, for God's sake, just upgrade that fucking midfield and get some defenders.
Oh, and the Sir Alex Ferguson as well. Upgrade that shit as well, please.
They knock down the whole.
Get rid of that parking spot.
They need to just blow up the whole entire stadium and just like, yeah. By the way, Ajax could win the Eredivisie on Wednesday, so hopefully they win that shit on Wednesday, and Baldy can come fix United. Bring your bald ass to Manchester. we got work to do, my nigga.
and that's the thing, though. Like, I think you're at least one more manager away from actually becoming United again. I know you think Ten Hag is a guy, but he's not. He's not. Yeah. Arsenal had Ljungberg in there as a bald nigga to shake shit up real quick before we got a guy with good hair. So until you get a nigga with good hair, nothing is happening. But things will get better, I promise.
Hey, listen, man. All I know is my chip is all in on Baldy. If that shit fails, nigga, I'm going to go watch cricket or something. Like the guy in these.
I'm moving to Mumbai.
And listen, we're going to finish this shit and go full circle. Because you know who else is Guyanese and plays cricket? Rodrigo. That nigga is definitely Guyanese. He's not Brazilian. He is 100% Guyanese. And we're out. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.